Welcome to the Finance and Citywide Projects Committee meeting of June 14th. We got enough people here, so let's get started. Commissioner Ariola, why don't you guide us through this process along with John or whoever is coming? Right. Let's go.
All right.
One request. John, this is going to take a little bit of time to get through this budget, correct?
Probably about 30 minutes.
I think it's going to take longer than that.
The 72nd Street conversation might take a little longer, but the budget information, I think, should go pretty quickly.
I know that we have a lot of residents here who want to speak about both 72nd Street and the Abbott Alley vacation, so I'm just mindful that they're here early this morning. We're here all day.
We're fine. Whatever you want to do, you all set the agenda.
Is that okay? Why don't we take the Abbott Alley vacation item first so we can get some people moving out of here, because the rest is going to be just city staff.
Mayor Gilbert, members of the commission. For the record, Roy Coley, Director of Public Works. The item before you on this alley vacation may be better described as an alley relocation. What the developer is asking us to do is to vacate a portion of the city alley, and in return, the developer is proposing to dedicate other lands to us. There's actually a net increase in land to the city. And the developer is proposing to build a bioswale as a public benefit to the city. I think this alley vacation is pretty simple. The city ends up with more property by a couple hundred square feet, not a lot, but the developer actually loses some property square footage development rights. So the administration is prepared to recommend it as it's been proposed to you.
Okay. Some folks from the public want to speak on this?
So, good morning, Mr. Chairman, Mayor Gilbert, Commissioners Michael Larkin, 200 South Pisco, representing the applicant in this matter. You know, it's unique when we come before you all with the support not only of the city administration, but that of the residential neighbors that are all to the west. The NOBE HOA adopted a resolution expressing its support for this application. This is a new HOA. It's an umbrella HOA that represents all the subsidiary HOAs along the western side of North Beach, over 11,000 residents that they represent, and they're in support of this application. As Roy mentioned, this is almost an entire block assemblage. It covers everything except for the southwest corner of the property. We're seeking to close the northern half of Abbott Court and all of Norney Beach Court. With regard to Abbott Court, if we did nothing, it would be a dead end. But as Roy mentioned, we're seeking to reconfigure it so that it does not dead end, but it terminates at Byron Avenue. We're dedicating to the city a 40-foot wide area of our property on the southwest side. 20 feet of that will be the alley that Roy described that we will construct. The other 20 feet will be the bioswale. A bioswale is a more evolved catch basin. Typical catch basins are fine, but with bioswale, you get the additional value of having the plants within the bioswale purify the water to a much greater degree before it reaches the aquifer. And as Roy mentioned, we're dedicating more property to the city than vacating. The development rights will remain with the alley and the bioswale. We're not taking them into our property, which represents a net loss of development rights to Bobby and a net gain to the city. Most importantly, we are complying with the master plan and the town center regulations, which call for assembling block-long developments. The town center regulations also create a hierarchy of streets. 72nd Street is a Class A street. With the closure of the alley, we'll have continuous retail frontage facing the park, which is incredibly valuable. The public benefit here is many things, but the transformative value is Bobby going first. He's the first one. He's a pioneer in these uncharted waters. This is not waterfront property. This is a rather depressed area of the city, but Bobby's choosing to go first, and when he is successful, he will be the spark that will turn the rest of town center on fire. One of the other public benefits is the improvements of the public realm. These are mandated by the town center regulations in terms of wider sidewalks and street trees. You know, the development universe of South Florida is evenly divided between visionaries and promoters. With regard to promoters, we had early experience in the 1920s with the Binder Boys in Miami, who facilitated the transfer of property sometimes five or six times a day. Over in South Beach, we had an individual in the 90s that said that the South of Fifth neighborhood could turn into a Venice, complete with gondolas, canal network. Of course, that never saw the light of day. But then you have visionaries like Tony Goldman, who came in, swooped in the 80s, bought the Park Central, which was decrepit at the time, re-engineered it, reimagined it, and he lit South Beach on fire. Bobby Finbarb can certainly more than easily step into the shoes of someone like Tony Goldman coming to an area of our city which was similarly depressed like South Beach in the 80s, and I think revive it. I'm going to ask Bobby to come up here, give a few remarks, and then Ray Ford have more of a visual presentation so you all gain a much better understanding.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor and members of the commission. Robert Finbarb, 2999 Northeast 191st Street, Suite 800 in Aventura. As I've mentioned to you in the past, born and raised on the beach, born and raised in this area, grew up in Biscayne Point, played baseball at North Shore Park, went to the movies at the Byron Carlisle. I know this area inside and out. It's pretty much the same it has been since I, you know, was 5, 10, 15 years old in the area. The request, in my opinion, my humble opinion, is a benign request for the vacation of this alley. It's going to allow us to execute a better project. One of the objectives of the town center is to activate 72nd Street, to activate that as a corridor that connects the park and the band shell. You've got the only promenade, basically, that connects a public park to the beach. And in my opinion, the vacation of the alley is absolutely necessary to effectuate that. If we're unable to vacate that alley, it's going to be next to impossible for me to promote an outdoor cafe and activate the 72nd Street frontage of our property, because you're going to basically have vehicles entering and exiting mid-block. We've met with Eric, with Roy, with Tom Mooney. We've got their support. We took their ideas. We're going to be we're proposing to do the first bioswale in Miami Beach as part of our project, and I'm ready to go. I've met with some of you. I've committed to get this project moving. As soon as we're able to complete the alley vacation, we will move forward with design. We'll move forward with our DRB application, and I just want to get this thing done. The FAR increase was voted on almost 2 years ago, and we're still, going through the bureaucratic process. So anything that you guys can do to help facilitate the process would be greatly appreciated. That's all I got. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Ray Fort with Architectonica. And I've been working I'd worked with in the planning process for North Beach, and I think one of the important things that came out of that, and staff did a really good job of establishing this, was the idea of hierarchy between the streets in town center, and this site sits basically fronting 72nd Street, Abbott, and Byron. And it was established that 72nd and 71st were considered A streets, the primary streets that were to be pedestrian-oriented. And then Byron and Carlisle and Abbott were more B-type streets, and Abbott actually being a little bit more important. So we did studies on the site as it relates to whether what would happen if it became, if we closed the alley, and what would happen if the alley remained. And so starting with the condition of the alley remaining, we believe that what would end up happening is it would force the condition of building the required parking for the project along the 72nd and Byron corner, and putting the activated building along Abbott and 72nd. What we don't like about this is that 72nd Street is really fronting that park, and we want to make that a nice street to walk along and very pedestrian oriented. There's even plans there to improve the streetscape. So by putting a garage on that frontage really doesn't make sense in our opinion, because you have the alley that split, that bifurcates the site in a north-south manner, sort of creating these two halves that you can't encroach upon. So the proposed closure essentially unifies that, and as it was stated earlier, the alley somewhat gets relocated and makes a turn to the west. And so we did a study as to what that would be in terms of a project and how much better it is in terms of the activation along that A street. So just looking at the ground floor, or what would be proposed as a ground floor, the alley makes that turn from north to west. We're able to line Abbott and 72nd with continuous retail and a lobby. We're able to locate the garage entrance off of Byron, which is the B street, and all the loading would also occur off of the alley. When we look at a typical podium level where we would enclose the parking, it very much matches what some of the studies were that staff had put together, in which the parking was mostly lined along those A streets, in this case Abbott and 72nd, and then only Byron gets a little bit of exposure, but it creates a much more pedestrian-friendly condition in which the podium levels now have people living in those levels instead of just cars. And then above that, you have a consolidated residential building that sits, and this can be positioned, you know, on one corner or the other, but this just gives you a visual of how much space is being occupied by what's above the podium. But in essence, the idea here is that the closure really benefits the project a lot. And in our opinion, it makes for it really does make a lot of sense, and it's much more consistent with the town center master plan. And that's basically it. So I'm glad to answer any questions, and thank you.
Thanks, Ray. Mr. Chairman, Mayor Gilbert, and Commissioner, that's all we have. We're happy to answer any questions you all might have.
I believe our economic development director might have something to add to this.
Oh, I know.
Commissioner Bo Martinez, Director of Economic Development. As a department, we took a look at this Abbott Alley vacation, what we're calling a swap. And the swap was really to look at how the assemblage of the different properties as well as the alley vacation would leverage and build a mixed-use development and residential project as designed in the 2016 master plan. So what we try to do is take a look at a high level from the NOBE master plan, then took a look at the city alley, the portion of the alley to be vacated, and then the alley land provided back to the city. And so when we did our brief economic analysis on this, we felt that, you know, based on the alley swap, the contribution to fund a bioswale, as well as the net alley land that's given back to the city, it would be a benefit to the city and resulting in about $452,000 net cost to the city, in addition to 218 square feet of new alley back to the city for this project. And we really feel that this would be a great project, you know, to kick off as part of the overall North Beach master plan, as well as looking at opportunities for future development in and around this location.
So you like it?
Yes, we recommend the project.
Jimmy, what do you think?
Look, you know, as we've discussed here in the past, nothing has happened on that street since I was a kid. So, and that's a long time ago. I think our planning department has worked closely with them to, I think, come up with something very consistent with the master plan. Our economic development folks have looked at it. Public Works is comfortable that this is in no way compromising any issue for the city with the alley. And the bioswale will be the first one done. And it's something we can study and see how it works. So I think if you talk about something being a catalyst project, this could be the catalyst project.
That's the way I see it. But, you know, I've got my own layman's terms of putting this. But do you have layman terms of putting this? I think, Roy, you said this is not an alley vacation. This is an alley relocation. Did you say that?
Yes, sir. That was my description, because we're actually obtaining more square footage of property than we currently own. So I just thought it was easier to understand as a swap versus a straight vacation.
And we're actually gaining additional square footage, I believe, as part of this swap.
Yes.
Yes.
So is this, is my opinion, this is as close to a no-brainer as you get. It leads to a better, more beautiful project. This is shovel-ready, public gaining, not losing here. I'm struggling to see if there's any controversy on this.
The other thing that wasn't mentioned really very elaborately is that the relocation of the alley enables the overlay of the town center and the way it was designed with the A, B, and C streets to be implemented. If you don't relocate the alley, you can't implement the design of the town center overlay the way our planning department crafted it.
So I don't know if it's Tom Mooney here.
And that included the wider sidewalks and street trees.
Yeah, so, I mean, the other thing we got to consider, right? So many decades ago, 60, 70 years ago, some city planner just did grids, and that's the way we did things, north, south, east, west, right? And that's not the way all cities need to be. The great European cities have curves and road closures and things like that. And so for me, when we do these sort of things, which is rare, we get so wed to, oh, my God, we're going to move an alley or close an alley. It's like it was arbitrary to begin with. And if all of a sudden you've got a developer and professional staff saying this is actually a good project, I'm not sure why we sweat these things as much as we do.
Commissioner, you know, Carmen did a lot of the work on the Town Center master plan, and I think can talk about how this is consistent and supportive of that.
Good morning, Carmen Sanchez, Deputy Planning Director. Yes, indeed. The project actually espouses all the principles that we have for the Town Center. It actually moves the entrances away from the main streets, away from 72nd, away from 71st, and actually locates them onto the side streets. So this truly does follow the principles that we laid out for Town Center. The fact that we're creating a bioswale also, is really important for the city as a whole so that we can start capturing, excess water and so forth. So as far as this project is concerned, the department is behind it. We're very comfortable with the proposal. From a planning perspective, this is a good project.
I'm more hesitant than some of my colleagues on these items because I think that we engage on a slippery slope when we start vacating streets and alleyways, even for good projects like this. And I do think this will be a good project, but that concerns me. I also am concerned when I don't know exactly what's going to be built. You know, today for the first time I'm kind of seeing some architectural drawings, but it leaves open a question in my mind as to what can be built there. So it's difficult for me to vote on these things without knowing what's going to be built. With that said, I did meet with the developer yesterday and his team, and it did give me some comfort that it is somebody that is a long-term beach resident and somebody that's part of our community and I believe will want to do something good for our community, and assures me he's going to build something good for our community, some rentals and things of that nature. The valuation model that we use for these projects I think is flawed because we look at kind of like straight line appraisal values as to what these things are worth. And I know at the last commission meeting we referred an item in the future, if and when these items should come up, to really see not just what the value of the specific property is, in this case an alley, but to look at what the value to the development is. Because even though I understand it's a relocation, it won't be a straight line, it will be a curved alley, I know, and everybody else knows, that it's going to be more value for the development to do one contiguous building than to have to build two separate structures with an alley through it. It's going to be far less attractive, they're going to get far less rent, and it will be an economic benefit to the developer. So with that said, I do appreciate the proffer of the $350,000 bioswale, and I think it will be a good public benefit. I know that I'm always looking for more, but I think that's my job as an elected commissioner to look out for the public. And if we're going to be relocating or vacating or whatever the popular term is that we're doing, I think we need to maximize the public benefit. And I did speak with the developer, and I would like to corroborate or confirm with either him or his team what they told me, because I would like to see more of a public benefit for North Beach. And I'm not looking to define that, but I have some that I personally like. I know that Unidad has a budget shortfall. I know we need money for the Coral Rock House. I know we're about to discuss an enormous budget deficit for the Aquatic Center. So in order for me to be a yes, I'm not going to try to stop this today. I'm going to vote for this out of committee. But for me to be a yes vote through the two readings, it needs to go through for commission purposes, and it does need a 6/7 vote, as far as I understand. I would like to see more of a benefit for the community from this.
I'm going to let Roy address the appraisal and whatever public benefit was actually reached as part of that negotiation. From our perspective, we looked just solely at the zoning and how the building would behave and how the impact of the urban fabric, what it would be at that point, given the relocation of the alley. But we really didn't have much, so I'm going to turn it over to Roy so he can answer.
My question wasn't so much for you guys, it is for the developer team, and I would like to get some corroboration that that will happen before this comes before commission from one of them. I can't see them anymore because I'm blocked by their drawings.
Let me just add, just in the interest of time, we've got a busy agenda. I mean, if you're comfortable voting it out of finance, myself, yourself, and Commissioner Samuelin sit on finance. Do you want to move for the full commission? We can have a longer discussion there.
I do, but I want to get some corroboration that I'm going to get a better public benefit or I'm not going to put it out of finance.
Sure. Already. So Bobby Finbar and I met with Commissioner Gongora yesterday. He told us something I didn't know, that UNIDAD suffered a huge loss with the loss of a state grant, $200,000 a year going forward. So we committed to meet with Executive Director of UNIDAD, Ray Adrian, to see about what we could do to help. And that goes in what you're saying, to make the public benefit somewhat larger in nature. So we're happy to sit down with him, figure out how we can help him.
Okay. Thank you for that.
Look, I will say when this kind of stuff comes up, what bothers me and why development is so hard in this city is that when someone sees the direction, hey, something is about to pass, but they need my vote, it would be really nice if all seven of us can stick it in the developer. You know, hey, we need a new baseball field, Bobby, in North Beach. Throw that in. Throw your project in. By the time all seven of us finish throwing our want list at you or anybody, it kills the project. So it's not really fair for any of us to, like, tie our vote to a little thing that they want that you get to take credit for, because if we all played that game, we would sabotage everything in the city. It's not cool to do that.
All right. Let me need to respond to this real quick. This isn't a game. This is a difference. In
Bobby, I want a baseball
field, too.
Sorry,
please don't interrupt me. This isn't a game. This is a difference in opinion of what a public benefit and what our role as commissioner is. Less development engaged and more community engaged. So I do think it's incredibly appropriate. If somebody wanted to take a little piece of land by my house that was unused, that I didn't use, and give me a little piece of their house, I would still want to look for a benefit there. And I don't see this as any different. I like to get the most for the public. And that's not a game. That's a difference in mentality. I want more for the public, and you want more for the development community.
That's not true.
That's not true. And you know it.
Mr.
It's a
Chair.
Game you play, and you play it well.
Every one of us up here look out for the public benefit. It's not just one commissioner that's looking out for the public. This is a catalyst to start North Beach and the master plan that we've worked so hard on for the last, I think it's been 5 years. This is the first shovel-ready project that makes sense. It is for the public benefit. It's not for the public benefit to let everything stay just the way it is. That's why we hired Dover Cole to do the master plan. And for you to think that only you are looking out for the public is absolutely wrong, and I resent it.
That's not what I'm saying, and I would like to clarify my point. I would like to see this project happen. The difference is I want to get the most for the public out of the deal. I drive a harder bargain. I'm a harder bargainer for what I think is best for the public. And I'm sorry if you find that frustrating, but that's why I believe that I was elected by the residents to look out for their best interests.
Mr. Chair, if I may, one of the benefits of speaking last is you can sort of hear a few of the comments. I actually don't think we're that far apart. My view, this is a catalyst project. We do want to see development in North Beach, and this project seems to meet some of those thresholds, so I, too, would like to see it move forward. That being said, our role is to represent the community, and I support Commissioner Gongora's thoughts that we want the best deal for our community, period. Now, the path to that is the analysis that we passed on resolution, where we get an analysis of what the value is there, so we can look at it and say, is this the best deal for the city? My last thought is about timing, and you represented Ms. Finbar. You want to move quickly, right? If we have the right deal, then it's in all of our interests. Can you give us a sense of some of the key milestones that you would be looking to do, and would you be comfortable putting that as part of the agreement?
I mean, the key milestone is vacating the alley. I mean, frankly speaking, one fallacy that's been discussed is that it's going to be a less expensive project. That's not true. If we don't vacate the alley, I'm going to throw up a precast garage on one side of the alley, and I'm going to throw up a building on the other side of the alley, and it's going to be, you know, a plantation or, you know, some suburban-looking, you know, project that's out of the box. And, I'm not going to do something architecturally significant. And with all due respect to Ray, it's beneath Architectonica for them to design that project. You know, I mean, it's going to be, I'm going to use, you know, somebody who does a Wendy's or McDonald's. So honestly, because I can do that. And, you know, so there comes a put, we're being pioneers here. New upscale residential apartments, that thesis hasn't been proven in North Beach. We have to come in at a compelling price point. We cannot compete with the amenity base that exists in Midtown and Brickell Design District, Wynwood now. So we're going to have to come in, you know, significantly lower to attract those residents that are going to populate these buildings.
Can we let them answer the question about milestones first?
Sure. This is something we talked with the commissioner yesterday. Yeah. So the commissioner is looking for different development benchmarks. He was saying if we're going to go quickly, what are some benchmarks that we can put in the resolution that would approve the vacation? And we're very comfortable saying that by mid-March of next year, we will be doing final submittal for our DRB application because we're going to be done with this because it's a very long process. This process will conclude in October. It'll take us some time to work with Ray. Mm-hmm. Ray's a bit of a perfectionist, but we'll do it, and we'll have our final submittal by mid-March. We'll be heard in May, DRB, and then we'll rush to get our building permit because, as you all know, in August 2020, that's when the penalty kicks in where you have to pay for additional height, and we're going to avoid that. So those are the benchmarks that we discussed yesterday with you.
Thank you.
I think what you see here and the reason we go back and forth a little bit is different philosophies about negotiations and how negotiations get done. For me, as a 25-year Fortune 500 corporate executive, you don't wait till the end and then throw some surprises at each other on a threat to walk out. That's not good faith negotiations. So I know that our staff does a very good job, first of all, they built public benefit right into the overlay. In this overlay, the developer has to pay for a sidewalk that's twice as wide. The developer has to pay for trees that the caliper of the trunk is twice as big as anywhere in the city. Finvarb might be the only guy to get through the public benefit relief period, which they talked about, which is on the timeline of going, it's this, you know, incentive to go faster. Every other developer in the town center is going to just pay a straight-up public benefit fee that's going to go into a fund that this commission is going to reinvest into the North Beach community. There are other public benefits, including realizing not just serving as a catalyst for the town center, which, of course, it will, but also realizing the vision of the Class A and B and C streets. And you have to understand what that is. But what that is it drives the walkability and the streetscape throughout the entire town center. So without this alley relocation, which actually is a square foot net benefit to the city, valued at $450,000 benefit to the city, it also realizes that town center overlay. So to me, I do all of my public benefit negotiations not from this seat, because I don't see that as negotiating as a business person in good faith. You got to get that information to the other party early in the process so that they can see if the numbers still work. I think it's just it's a little bit of a different approach. Everyone up here has their interests for the public, and the public will benefit from this project. So I hope one of you will go ahead and move it so we can get on to other agenda items. And I would say that if any, we're all here, and this takes 6/7. So there's some of us that I haven't heard from. If any of us are holding back, like, let's let them know now, because the developer can go forward. If he doesn't have an indication of 6/7 right now, then let him know, because he should go design a different project.
Let me just, since I'm not on the committee, Mr. Chair, but it is important to know where everybody stands on such a high majority vote. I intend to support this. I think, our manager, I grew up in the community. I've watched all development, all good development, because there's also bad development, but all good development seems to have just hop-skipped over North Beach, not for the last 10 years, I think for the last 50 years. And it really needs, that dynamic has to change. There are problems in that community, quality of life challenges in that community, and I would really hate to wait another 50 years for that to happen. So I am going to support it at the commission. I can't vote now, although I find your meetings interesting. I may come to more of them. But I think if you're wondering, I'm supportive of this. I think it's smart, frankly. It has to have a public benefit, obviously, but there's randomness to the way things are set up. And the fact that we want to move it around in order to create something that makes more sense, frankly, for the residents, so you can have better vistas and the walkability is easier and the activations are better for the community. I mean, that's sort of good stuff. So I don't think this is a hard call at all, and I'll be supporting it when I have a chance to vote for it.
Steinberg, what about you?
Right. And I appreciate all the comments up here, and actually I don't disagree with any of them. Just very briefly, because I would like to get to the other items today too. I appreciate the comments. I don't know what the public benefits are until it gets to committee. This wasn't my item. I didn't have negotiations with the developer for the alley. I didn't put it on the agenda. So until this comes to committee, I don't have an opportunity to really give my 2 cents. So that's why I have to do it here. And number two, I don't think anybody's disagreeing that this could be a valuable and good project to fulfill the North Beach Town Center vision. What I don't understand is why doing more for our community would be a bad thing, especially when the developers team is proffering that they're willing to do more. So for committee purposes, I'll move it forward contingent on an enhanced public benefit when it comes before commission.
Second.
All in favor? I will say, since we're all throwing our pet projects, I'd like to see you do something with the baseball fields up there. Would you like anything? I mean, you don't get to say, I want UNIDOT, and then get credit for it. So why don't we all give them our list, and then we'll negotiate.
Yeah, I want band shell seating.
Yeah, I mean, that's how this is going to be played. You know, all seven of us pile on, see if you can handle it. All right. It's out of committee. Okay. I'd like to do 72nd Street just because we have so many people here, and I don't want to keep you all morning listening to our boring budget discussion. So would somebody like to tee up the 72nd Street? Ocean Terrace, yeah. Sorry, I'm sorry, Ocean Terrace.
Yeah. It's only Finance Committee can vote on that.
Terrace or 72nd?
Terrace.
Ocean Terrace.
So, Commissioner, just to the recommendation to Finance was to move the prior vacation to Commission for consideration?
Yeah, with the public benefit enhancement.
Thank you.
By the way, I know this is starting to be a little bit controversial. I don't want to make this a super long discussion, and I know there's members from the public here. We will likely hear this at full commission, and that's probably the best time to air everyone's pros and cons on this, but just walk us through some of the financial aspects of this, Eric.
Okay. Honorable Chairman, Mr. Mayor, committee members, commissioners, this is an item that's been in front of the Finance Committee on several occasions in the past. Back in February, we had discussed the master plan and potential funding alternatives to try and bring the Ocean Terrace neighborhood design to fruition. Back in March, the Finance Committee recommended and ultimately was approved by commission resolution to work on a public-private partnership to try and realize these park improvements, streetscape improvements along Ocean Terrace consistent with the plan. We did find a willing partner in this process with Ocean Terrace Holdings. They are in the process of trying to redevelop almost the entire block between 74th and 75th Street, Collins and Ocean Terrace, and they were willing to step up to the plate and provide what we estimate as approximately $15 million in constructed public improvements in exchange for the city vacating the public right-of-way adjacent to their project to allow them to attract a higher-end hotel flag by providing additional keys that makes their project more viable and ultimately, we believe, better for the community in the long term. We've gone through a significant negotiation process at this point. We've done an economic analysis that was done by Lambert. The appraisal was done of the area that we're proposing to vacate. The appraisal shows that the value, if you were able to develop that right-of-way that we're vacating, is approximately $11 million. That obviously does not take into consideration the fact that we are getting a full easement back over that right-of-way, which will allow for pedestrian access, vehicular access, and perpetual public use. And the economic analysis that was done shows that there's approximately a $49 million net present value increase to the city's tax rolls and resort tax rolls for the proposed improvements. I can walk you through the 11 issues related to the development agreement, or I can just basically tell you that we're at a place where we have the framework of the deal relatively in a good spot. We would like to tighten up the timelines a little bit. Right now, we're looking at phase one of the project being completed within 4 years. Phase two of the park streetscape project, phase one and phase two of the park streetscape project, phase one, 4 years. Phase two, 8 years, and the requirement of the development agreement right now is for the developer to be constructing the private project within that 8-year time frame and be completed within 11. The development agreement, and we've been back and forth on the term of the development agreement. We're not quite there yet. There's still some discussions about potential beachfront concessions associated with the hotel. There is a request for some fee waivers associated with the city portion of the project and approximately $40,000 worth of fee waivers for the private portion of the project related to the previously expended application fees.
Eric, can I ask you a question because you're getting into the details? Big picture in layman terms, what is this?
Big picture layman terms, this is the city is vacating a portion of Ocean Terrace, 74th and 75th Street.
Specifically, be specific, an asphalt parking lot?
A heavily asphalt and concrete area and turning it into what is a much more green, enticing to the public park / streetscape space.
And how much are we paying for that?
$0.
So we're taking an asphalt parking lot that's for cars. It's going to be turned into a park at zero cost to the city. So we're taking space for cars and turning it into a space for people.
Correct.
and we're taking something that's asphalt, great concrete, and turning it into green space.
Correct.
Why wouldn't we do that? That's us for us to decide. Don't answer.
And
I mean, that is what we are debating. Do we want what we have now, or what we can, you know, see renderings of in a moment if we want to see them? And then we just get into the economics of it, the details.
And
right, do we all agree on the big picture, or do we want to fight for this asphalt parking lot that we have? Because there's some folks that are saying, oh, this is a giveaway, and I don't understand what the giveaway is when we're taking asphalt and turning it into green space.
Mr. Chair, if I may. Eric, could you talk, because there has been some maybe lack of understanding about what a vacation means and the rights and control the city has on the street post-transaction.
Good question. I think people are getting worried about this. Like, when I say vacation, please.
Certainly. A right-of-way in concept is really just a dedication for public access and utility that's typically put in place at the time of platting the parcels into smaller subdivided parcels. What we are doing in this particular instance is we are taking that right-of-way dedication, which is in effect an easement with an underlying reversionary right to the adjacent property owners, and we are vacating that right-of-way, and we are getting a comparable easement back from the developer for public access and utilities in perpetuity.
So just to make sure I heard that, because there's a lot there, in terms of the practical application for the city, do we maintain the full rights and control on the property?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you so much. I think that's a very important point that Commissioner Samuelin raises that I think some folks in the public may not understand and getting confused. The public has access to this. This is part of the deal that's being proposed, which is there's a legal requirement to vacate, but we get everything back that we have today. So, I mean, I think people hear these terms and they think we're losing control and losing access, and that is absolutely 100% not the case.
If I may, the best similarity, and it's not exact, but the best similarity that I can draw is that this is similar to what was done on the 1100 block of Lincoln Road, where it was a vehicular street with pedestrian access, and we turned it into a pedestrian plaza. That's more or less what we're proposing to do, with the city still having all the rights and controls that we have today, tomorrow.
Thanks, Jack. We're going to work through the details on this, and we're going to negotiate a development agreement and all of that good stuff that we always do. So I want to just take a step back and talk about the role of this vacation. This is a no-brainer transformative project. If you think about Altos Del Mar Park, which the city is currently in a construction project to renovate Altos Del Mar Park, that is on 75th and Collins, on the north side. Just south of that is where the North Shore Public Library is. And most of you recall that you voted overwhelmingly to support the GEO bond. Part of the reason was you were going to get a brand new, twice the size, North Beach Branch Library over on Collins and 72nd. That frees up that entire publicly owned beachfront, waterfront lot on 75th and Collins on the south side. Then you have the two blocks of Ocean Terrace. Then you have Banshell Park, where the Banshell and Domino Park is, and the volleyball courts and all of that. And then you wrap west to Collins and 72nd, which is that surface lot that becomes not just a new library, it becomes a new park. It becomes a 500-space parking garage. It becomes an aquatic center, a public fitness center with a running track. So what you get with this center piece of Ocean Terrace is, the creamy center of the Oreo cookie. It connects the whole thing together. And you end up from Altos Del Mar to 75th, Ocean Terrace, Banshell, 72nd, a seven-block contiguous park and recreation space that's entirely for the North Beach residents. It's spectacular. It's transformative. And when we're looking for developers, luckily we had an earlier discussion with Robert Finvarb, who is a lifelong born and raised North Beecher, and he owns a block in Town Center, so he sees the vision and believes in it. And he's going to start his project. But we can't do Town Center with only him. We need other developer and investors to come and believe in the Town Center vision. Well, we've been trying to get that going. Sylvia Coltrane has been trying to get that going on Collins and 72nd, where we gave her expanded development rights 3 years ago. She has not been able to close on the financing or the flag to get started on that hotel. Why? Because the investors come, look at what they want, what she's asking them to invest in, and then they go look at the beachfront. And the beachfront is completely decrepit and decaying and unsafe and unsavory. And they say, if this is what the crown jewel of North Beach, the beachfront, looks like, and you're asking me to invest 2 and 3 and 4 blocks west, why would I do that? How is that a good investment? And that's why you see no investment in North Beach at all. So we got to get the beachfront where it is. It's absolutely for the residents, but the repercussions of that will be, we'll start to see strong Town Center investments. And then when we have North Beach as a great place to live, with the Town Center, with the beachfront, that's when all the small owners that are our residents that own a little MIMO building here, a little MIMO building there in the multifamily districts that we designated historic a few years ago, that's when they have a P&L to invest in their properties and make those beautiful historic gems that are sprinkled all throughout Normandy Isles and North Shore to give them a new future for the next 50 to 100 years. That's how that historic revitalization happens. So all this fits together. And that's really what we need to keep in mind. Obviously, we need to beat the details, and we will. But that is what the North Beach Master Plan described, and that is what we must deliver, and this is a key component.
Mr. Chair,
please.
If I may. For me, it's a couple thresholds. One, given it's this type of arrangement needs to be really compelling for the city and the community. And for me, for the community voice, the Saint-Tropez, which is right there, it's going to live this with it forever, is a critical stakeholder. Can you or the developer just update us on how discussions, the level of interest or support from the Saint-Tropez, in a word, do they support this?
I have been in communication with the president of their board, and he is here.
You want to hear from the president of the board? Is that okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to make this a long public hearing, but if you had a specific question.
Yeah,
so,
I wanted to.
Yeah. And by the way, Eric, what do we need to achieve here in finance?
In finance, the item needs to be heard, and ultimately our recommendation is that it be approved and forwarded to the City Commission for discussion of the three components of this, which are the land use amendments, the vacation, and the development agreement.
Yeah, because I'll tell you how I feel. Like the big picture makes a lot of sense for me. There's details that we can negotiate. Are we to negotiate those deals here today or at the full commission? In terms of the easements and the concessions and all those little things.
A lot of that has been already structured out. If there are any specific items that you wanted to delve into today to give me direction to negotiate more, there are a handful of items that we are still
Hold on,
actively.
Rick. The reason we're back is, as you recall, Finance Committee members, particularly Commissioner Samulin, you asked us to come back to the committee. This has already been to the committee at least once, as I recall, with the terms of the agreement of the vacation and the development agreement, which are enclosed in your memo. As Eric has said, what we're looking for is a recommendation from the committee, and then ideally we would bring the development committee for first reading, the development agreement for first reading in June and second reading in July. And hopefully by June, as Eric said, we'll have some of the remaining terms of the development agreement worked out.
Is that at the proclamation meeting?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Chair, may
I? But it's first reading. We have two readings of the development
agreement. Yes, we don't have to negotiate the development agreement today.
That's correct. Okay.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, if I may,
please,
I understand
please.
We're not negotiating in detail, but you did ask for input or feedback. if we have a project like this that creates value, we want to get there as soon as possible. I've looked at some of the timing. I've shared this with the developer. I'd like to see if we could do some of these things a bit faster. If the community wants to see this, some of these things go out, you know, quite a bit of time. So just as direction, I'm supportive of where we're going. I'm supportive of it moving out of committee. But I would like to see what we can do to accelerate so we get the benefits faster.
Mr. Chair, Neeson Kazan and Chris Machado of Ackerman for the applicant. Co-counsel is Michael Larkin, who's here as well. Two things. Number one, we have a full presentation if you would like it. But I do also want to address the point that this agreement has been extensively negotiated and drafted. So that is, no one is confused, there are three or four points. The manager's office, Eric, has put out a very detailed and thorough memo which highlights all of the key deal points, and there are many. There are three or four issues which Eric has highlighted, which we are still working on, and he announced those earlier. Commissioner Samuelin, you have mentioned that concern. We could also take time now to address with you the timeline, or we could sit with you separately. We hear it. We want to be responsive to that.
I think we'd do that offline or through Eric would be fine with me. Okay.
And if I may, Mr. Chair, just take the privilege, because of all my years in this city and observing this from the time I was born till today.
By the way, you were a great mayor.
I was the white filling between a Gelber sandwich, almost. Oreo sandwich.
Really? That's the metaphor you're choosing?
That's the best metaphor.
The best you could come up
that's
with?
That's the best I could come up with. There are many people from the community here. You know, you all know, because most of you participated in an extensive, lengthy process of planning for Ocean Terrace, the Charette, the specific street design. You've heard from the community before, but one thing that has come through in all of the comments from the community is basically, don't blow it this time. North Beach has been the maid-in-waiting in this city for decades, as everyone says. No one has made a really significant economic investment in this neighborhood. Today, it's perhaps ironic, you have the opportunity, both with the project you heard before and with this project, to finally move North Beach forward. And you as a commission have a unique opportunity to make that happen. If it does not happen, there is a, and you will hear this from others as well, there is a good likelihood that investment will pass over this city for many years to come. The other thing that is interesting, and I think in the big picture of things we all have to be aware of, you're going to be dealing with the budget coming up. What you will see is property values that are flattening, new development that is down significantly. This city is pretty much fully developed between what's been built and the regulations in this city. And so the city has been sort of sitting fat and pretty for many years based on all the investment that has taken place, the appreciation in property values, and development that has taken place. But an honest evaluation of that, with very little areas left to develop, some of Alton Road, perhaps North Beach, you can see a period of perhaps flattening or even potentially, unfortunately, even decreasing property values. That is a fiscal issue for this city. I work with developers all over this county, some of the top national and international developers and investors doing some of the finest projects anywhere, the Design District, Brickell City Center, and such. There are dozens and dozens of times the amount of investment going into those areas, and I have tried. I'm on the board of City National Bank, which owned all the property on 71st Street. I have tried to interest people. I believe in North Beach. I would love to see. I think the town center plan is a great idea. I think Ocean Terrace could be the next great street that people talk about in Miami Beach because of the linear park and because of the redevelopment of the block. But it is very difficult to get people to invest. They do not believe that North Beach is there. They do not believe it is ready or is ripe for investment. And with all the things that you've done, and this commission has done a lot to set the stage, at the end of the day, if the most important piece of oceanfront property remains in the state that it is in, and Commissioner Alamon mentioned this first, it is very hard to convince investors that, oh, let's go to Town Center, let's go to Normandy Isle. They don't see it, they don't get it. So this is a very momentous moment for the City Commission. You do have the opportunity, unlike any commission in the past, to really get investment, great public space, and truly catalyze redevelopment of North Beach. And so thank you for indulging me, but this is not only what I believe in my client, but what I believe in my heart from being in the city for years.
Spoken like a true statesman and great mayor. Wow.
And with that, I'm happy to waive our presentation.
Yeah, in the interest of time, we have a budget to get through. Commissioner Samuel, you asked a specific question about Ocean
Central Pay.
Yep. Are there folks here who want to speak on that? And then I think, Commissioner Gongora, you had some comments?
Sure.
Okay.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Mayor, commissioners. My name is Bill Vitale. I'm president of the board of directors of the Saint-Tropez on Ocean Terrace. We are in support of this, to say it as quickly as we can and as succinctly as we can. The first time Sandor reached out to us back in February, the first thing he said, we want you included in this. We want to know your feelings. We want to know have your input. We want to know what you like, what you don't like, what you'd like us to change. And he's been good to his word about that. So we're coming at this not on as a project that's being foisted on us, but as something that we're invested in, we're an integral part of. And that's kind of the long and the short of it.
That's great.
In the way of time. Now, I do have one concern that I wanted to remark about. Can I do that now, or should I step back later?
It's brief, yep.
Well, our one concern, and this is something that our unit owners are a little bit concerned about, and that is ingress and egress to our building along 73rd Street. The plan, the way it's currently set up, calls for the eastbound lane to fork. There will be a beach drop-off this way. We will turn to the left to get to our building and garage. Now, to be clear, Sandor, excuse me, I should have taken my water bottle. But, Sandor has said, and his design people, who are a lot smarter than I am about this sort of thing, have said this will work. Just the other day, we had a two-hour meeting with Sandor and his people. Magic. What a guy. they've said this will work. At the meeting we had the other day, they showed us scaled drawings with little cars drawn in and all of that to show how this would work. So I'm not suggesting in any way that I know more about this than they do or that this will be a problem for us. I just don't know. But I would ask the city to please focus on this for us. It's an existential thing if we can't get in and out of our building in a reasonable time frame on weekends, on special events, when there's a band shell event, that sort of thing.
Okay.
So if you could do that. Also, very quickly, Mayor Gelber said the other day that the Aquatic Center is going to be finished in 2023, I think it's the scheduled date. If that could be ready, excuse me again.
Yeah, go ahead. The other thing I'll say is, since this is finance, all the points that you're raising, I'm sure there's going to be many dozen more points. We'll have opportunities at the land use boards, the DRB community meetings to hammer all those out. So
okay,
I don't want
to
like,
happy to
yeah,
raise them.
Yeah, that's why I'm not like having a big public meeting because we'll nitpick this to death. And all we're trying to do is directionally move this so that it can keep going. But all of the points that you're raising are very important, and they need to be hammered out as part of the development agreement.
Okay, let me just.
Did you have? You wanted to finish a point?
I was just saying if the Aquatic Center could be done at the same time or before or around that time that the Ocean Terrace project is done, it will greatly ease or beneficial to that question of whether 73rd Street becomes a problem. If there's 500 parking spots a block away, it stands to reason that's going to help us. Also, would it be possible for the city to have some kind of designated police presence at least for a reasonable amount of time until the community gets acclimated to what the deal is there and how many spots there are and how long it takes. That would give our unit owners a level of comfort that that kind of seals the deal for us. This is transformational for us. We get it. We're having a world-class park literally coming to our front door.
What's not just to reiterate the point, how much is the city paying for that world-class park?
How much is the city paying? My understanding is it's a freebie. There's nothing.
Again, so I struggle
to see the cost is completely being borne by...
I struggle to see the agita that some people have over this.
I want to say I met with Mr. Vitale and two other gentlemen from the Saint-Tropez to make sure that I understood their concerns. And as I described to Sandra Scher subsequently, on the beach drop-off, plan for, you know, someone with a baby in a stroller and a car seat and a 90-year-old grandma, like not maybe Commissioner Areola leaping out of the car at high speed, that it's a beach drop-off and that means beach chairs and it means that it needs to be designed for that drop-off to take a few minutes and not back up the ingress, especially for the Saint-Tropez residents. And the developer reassured me on that.
It's pretty slow, Areola. I think you could plan for it.
First of all, I want to say I know there's a number of you that came to support this item that aren't speaking at this very early hour at 8 a.m. who have reached out to all of us. So thank you for being here. We recognize you're in the audience. This is a big vision item, and I give great deference to those in the neighborhood. But again, it's a legal mechanism, but we're changing the character of what is now a public street into essentially a public park, and there's a development agreement to go along with that. I've had a hard time wrapping my head around the vision part first, because for me that's the most important, because the North Beach Town Plan, when I first got elected, envisioned keeping a lane of traffic open, building out a public park that the city was going to pay for, but leaving a lane of vehicular traffic. So I've been focused on, you know, converting it all to park before I even get into the whole developer mechanism. So I do take these roles very seriously. I didn't call any of you, but I spent a good amount of time there on Saturday walking around and checking out the area. And it is a beautiful beach, and it was sad for me that it is underutilized by our residents. I didn't see any residents that I knew. That doesn't mean I know every resident in Miami Beach. But it seemed to me that it wasn't the usual crowd. It seemed like it was more day trippers from the county that were there, the ones that were present. And I would like to see us maximize this beautiful city jewel and asset that you all are lucky to live across from. So I'm amenable to this. You know, I think Commissioner Samuelin's question was a good one, you know, because there is a lot of rumors about it being given away. It is being deeded away, but we are keeping essentially the same rights pursuant to a perpetual easement, and it would be open to the public, and I think the public needs to be aware of that. As I understand it, the developer will not build further than his current property line. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, so the developer will essentially, they'll take out the parking spaces, they'll convert the asphalt to the public park being designed by Raymond Juggles for $15 million. I've had a hard time with these valuation determinations, as you heard on the last item about the alley, because in my mind there's a difference between what the street value appraisal is for a street as opposed to what the value is to a development. And in this case, you know, we do need to put it out there, and I'm not opposed to it, but I think the public does need to know that the developer is building the park, but he's taking those development rights in FAR and will put another tower on the Collins Avenue side. Maybe that's great for the area. Maybe we need that housing, and I hope it will be great. But there's a value to that, and I'm having a hard time in my mind deciding, is the park worth the building? And that's how I look at it, frankly. I want to make sure I drive the best deal possible for the community. So as this moves forward, and I do think it has the votes to move forward today, I'm going to have to understand that valuation better before it comes for the commission in total to understand if it's the best thing for the city. Number two, for me, there needs to be three considerations. One, the parking. It's going to be a huge problem as the lot that's going to become an aquatic center goes under construction and is temporarily unavailable for parking. And I need to know how that's going to play into the removal of these spots on Ocean Terrace. Oh, and then there's a third thing where there's talking about taking out the spots in front of North Shore
youth park, whatever those spots are called. So there's three areas right now that the public accesses to go to the beach and to visit the restaurants and the stores that are there now. And I need to have, before I approve this at commission, a really good understanding of that timing and where people are going to park throughout this entire process, because I don't want to shut down all the parking for several years to everybody that may want to use that area. Number two, I want to have a strict timing on our park being built. I think it's essential that that be built before the developer's building. If we're giving up a street, then I want that park there as quickly as possible before the towers go up, because that's why I'm voting for this today, is because of the park, not because of the development. Third, I want to make sure that this is not assignable at all. My vote will be contingent on my relationship with this developer, who I've come to know and like and trust over the years and who's very popular. But I don't want to approve a project and then have it flipped to somebody that I don't know or don't trust that might not live up to the promises that they've made to the community. So with that said, my vote is contingent on a lot of things coming forth in the development agreement, but for committee purposes today, I'll move it forward and allow the staff to continue to negotiate all of those terms. But my yes vote today is not a final yes vote. It's a yes to move the process forward.
Are you moving it?
Yes.
Yeah. I think Commissioner Gongora makes some good points. We'll look forward to hearing those play out, and I will second the motion.
Back to the commission. You're going to look at ironing out the ingress and egress and the logistical of it. You're going to take all the points that were discussed today, the timing of everything as well is going to play into this, including the details of the development agreement, where I believe they have 25 years is something to look at. Also be mindful of, like, when we currently close, just picking back on the point that you mentioned about the Saint-Tropez and the ingress and egress, but not just Monday through Friday, but when we do have, when we do have situations where we do close the street down today for like 4th of July, it's a nice event, we close it down, what now happens? So the practicality of what it is we're actually doing and how that translates to ensure that we always have public access.
Okay.
Yes, just to say a few words very briefly. I am very pleased with the project. I believe it is transformative, and that we talked before about the 83rd Street, was it, project being a catalyst. This also is going to be a catalyst. These buildings fronting on Collins Avenue have been in a derelict state for as long as I can remember. They have needed restoration. They have needed repairs. They've needed to be brought up to date with new retail tenants that will service the neighborhood. North Beach really needs it, and I think the only thing that I would like to see is for the timeline to be shortened so I can see it completed. Thank you.
I'll just add, you know, you look at that strip and you say to yourself, wow, how could that not, it's so beautiful, it's next to these other elements that are beautiful, how could there not be development there? But the truth is the market has some wisdom, and there hasn't been development there. So I appreciate the issues raised by my colleagues, and I urge Eric to make sure we get a great deal. But the truth of the matter is, colleagues, that, you know, folks have to hold property for a long period of time. They proceed. They're going in an area that has, for whatever reason, withstood a major development interest for decades. So there's risk on the developer also. And I think you've got to be aware of that. I mean, we went through this with 5, 6, and 7, where it was a similar situation. We're ending getting up more than a 3-acre park that'll, I think, be substantially completed before the tower is completed. But it's sort of the same thing, except even more so here, because we know from history that this area has been resistant to development. The market, which does a very good job in figuring out what's a good deal, has said, this is not a good deal for us. So if we're not careful, if we try to carve this close, then we're going to end up just losing it. And I think that would be terrible, frankly, because I don't think there's anybody who wants this area to not reach its potential, because honestly, it's not just to have a beautiful beachfront. So many of our issues in this city are captured by our failure to create inviting town centers close to our residents, our transportation issues, our housing issues, all of them. So the idea that we can create something that is dynamic, that's beautiful, that's inviting, that's embracing, that's walkable, that's commercially viable, is sort of is transformational to a third of our city. So I don't want to lose this. I don't want to give away the farm, but I don't think we are. And Eric, I think you do this for a living. You get people, you sit at arm's length, and I want you to do the best job you can. We hire you to do this, and we're going to rely on you, and I have utmost confidence in you, so let's get this thing going.
All right, move forward.
Mr. Chair, if I may, I just wanted to add that the Saint-Tropez Board of Directors is working on a formal letter of support for the project, which we'll be able to submit shortly. That's an important point.
But before, just so it gets added in administratively, I had received a formal letter of support from the Rhythm Foundation. I gave it to John Woodruff. So I guess when that comes back to the commission, it could be attached.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Mayor Gelber, I promise I'm working on better analogies. Future meetings.
The metaphors you have are the metaphors you have.
Jerry, please. Commissioner Libin.
Thank you, Commissioners. Mr. Chair, it seems like everybody's on board in moving this project forward, but I just want to, for the record, note that the Miami Beach Chamber of Commerce Board of Governors met with the developer and had a presentation. I'll spare you all the whereases and wherefores and why hows, but understand that the Chamber Board of Governors was in full support and urges you to and trusts you to negotiate a sound development agreement and urges you to conclude that successfully and move the project forward. And I'll give this to Rafael.
Thanks, Jerry. Okay, great. Okay, let's keep moving. I think it's budget time. John, are you going to tee this up for us? We're going to start with item number one.
Yes.
Was there a vote taken?
I'm sorry. Roe, I thought there was a vote taken. There was a motion made by Commissioner Gongora, seconded by Samuel, and I said yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I'll make it clear for the record. Yeah, that was unanimous. You look bewildered. Everybody okay? Rafa, are you okay? Okay. Yeah, we voted at 3-0. Is everybody okay? Okay? Everyone all right? Okay. John, do your stuff.
All right. So today is the first of three scheduled budget briefings that we have for this budget cycle. Today's focus is the capital budget. We're going to give a quick overview of the operating budget, but we'll cover that in detail on July 19th at our next meeting. And then in our third meeting, we tend to just finalize any items that come up during the first two items. So we just have a short presentation on the operating budget that builds on the one you heard at the budget retreat on May 21st. So let's go ahead and cue that up. Okay, so when we're building next year's budget, let's see here, we basically start with the cost of opening the doors. So what's it going to cost to provide the same level of service for our various programs across the city in the coming year? And when we did that at the budget retreat, we showed that we were at the time still pending the June 1st property values from the property appraiser. Property taxes represent about 53% of the general fund. So we were waiting on that number, and at the time we were hoping to get at least a 5.6% increase in property values because that would allow us to break even. Another assumption here is that we keep everything the same as last year, so that includes the transfers and different things. And when we got the numbers on June 1st, we came in at 3%. So 3% is fairly low. Last year was 4%. You know, we're about half of the county. We looked at the county number, and the base amount went up 3.4%, but 2.5% was new construction. In the past, we kind of led the way out of the recession, and now it looks like we're in something of a real estate trough. And so, you know, the big question is, how long is that going to last, right? So, you know, nobody really knows, but I think we should expect to have at least a couple of tight years going forward. On the property values themselves, the base amount went up 2.8%, which is the lowest in 9 years. On the new construction side, it was $235 million, which is a little higher than last year's $186 million. And when we come back on July 19th in more detail on the operating budget, we'll also have some figures on what's in the development pipeline so that we have an idea of what's coming. So when we plug in the numbers, really where we land is we have a gap of about $4.9 million. And the way we'll try to address that is we'll relook at every single number that we have. We're going to look at that program budget that we've developed over the last couple of years to help us identify potential reductions. We'll be looking at streamlining and efficiency opportunities. And again, we're going to bring all that back at July 19th. And we're really going to focus today on the capital budget. And just a quick reminder that as part of the budget process, the commission adopts the millage rate. And in this year, we're going to see the impact of the debt service portion of the millage rate increasing because of the issuance of the first tranche of the GO bonds. So timing-wise, and that trim process, the truth and millage process, is very formal. And so what that means is we need to finalize that maximum millage rate on July 31st. We have a special meeting scheduled just for that. And so here you'll see the other two budget workshops that we talked about. And then in August, we put together the proposed budget, and then we have the two public hearings in September for the beginning of the fiscal year, October 1st. So that's really the operating budget presentation. Are there any questions at this point before we just jump right into the capital budget?
Questions?
Okay. All right. So let's go ahead and get that presentation queued up. And our capital improvement program, or CIP, is really a five-year plan. We tend to focus primarily on the first year of the plan, but we do have out-year projections that we anticipate. And so we're kind of in the middle of this whole process. A lot of good work has gone into this. We've had a lot of internal meetings and so on. So now at this point, we're reviewing this with the Finance Committee and really the full commission, because we treat these as budget workshops. We have a capital action team, and we folded in our resiliency team to that group because we've tried to incorporate resiliency into just how we do business. And you know, you might remember that ULI recommendation to try to build in resiliency more into our various processes, especially our capital budget process. So that's something that we've started this year, and hopefully will really take effect next year. So when we're talking about capital improvement funding, we're really focused on the first three buckets here, the capital renewal and replacement. We have resort tax quality of life that we're lucky. That's like a premium that we have here in Miami Beach because of tourism. In most cities, you wouldn't have a funding source like that. And our PAYGO funds. And then we have a bunch of other type of projects that are usually associated with our enterprise project systems, such as parking, transportation, stormwater, that kind of thing. So the bulk of this presentation is going to be about those three first buckets. So the first one, before we get into the three, I just want to make sure everybody knows what they have in front of them in terms of materials. We have a memo. We have the spreadsheet that we've printed on 11x17 that shows all the projects that were requested and the ones that were recommended for funding in that green column, and also how much in funds we had to work with in each of those buckets and how much has not been allocated. And so I'm going to try to hit all of that in the presentation so that, you know, hopefully we could just use that as a reference tool if needed. So let's go ahead and get into the capital renewal and replacement. So capital renewal and replacement, or CRNR, is funded by a dedicated millage rate. And we converted our PAYGO to a millage rate last year as well. So you can see that the millage rate is the same. There's absolutely no change. And in CRNR, you can see we had $5.4 million in requests. We have about $1 million available between the $767,000 that was generated this year and some remaining balances. And we allocate the CRNR money using kind of a scientific approach based on facility condition indexes to try and identify our highest priorities. And And so we fund our as much as we can out of this bucket, and it's usually not enough to accomplish what we need to do. So you'll see in the PAYGO section when we talk about that, several other projects as well. So here, this is really the short list of all the CNR projects, and you can see that they're all high priority, that address roofs, HVACs, that kind of thing. And a lot of these slides have a long list of projects, so I'm not going to read them all, but I might just highlight a few as we move along. But if we want to pause and go through any of them, we have our staff here available to be able to provide more information. Okay? So the second budget bucket that we're going to cover is...
I had an item in this, I believe it goes in this category, which I would ask for the administration to take a look at and see... assess the urgency of and see if it's something that we should add, which is, it's a PD-related item behind IA. I'm looking at Deputy Chief Clements so he can, have a part in going and looking and seeing. The driveway behind IA is all, it's a mud bowl. And so when the officers are, when it's raining, they're parking and walking through basically mud in and out. And, those guys have to go back and forth to court. So I think it's a little bit of a problem that driveway hasn't been properly maintained. And that's at 225 Washington Avenue. So could you take a look at that driveway behind that building and also possibly look at an awning back there and just assess that whole area and see the urgency of that? Maybe that's something that isn't a big ticket item that we could add in.
Play behind it?
Yeah, like a driveway.
Right,
yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely, we can look into that and bring back a response.
You know where I'm talking about, don't you?
Commissioner, we did. We met with their staff, and that project is actually being submitted as their under 25 request under the renovations. So you won't see it on this capital budget, but we are working on that. So that will be available to them fiscal year 20.
Okay, good. Great. We want them to be able to represent us nice and shiny and clean when they get over there to court. So thank you.
It'll be done.
Okay, great. So the second bucket we have to work with is resort tax quality of life funds. And so just a reminder here that we have 1% of the resort tax, which is used for this purpose, and 60% of it goes to transportation to help pay for the free trolley system. And then 10%, which is about $1.5 million annually, goes to North Beach, Mid Beach, and South Beach, $1.5 million each, okay? And then there's another piece for arts. So as we go through this, we'll talk about the North Beach part, the Mid Beach part, and the South Beach projects, right? So in North Beach, we have several projects here. One thing I'd like to highlight is in all three buckets, you'll see a project called Smart Lighting Master Plan. And that was a geo bond project of $10 million that was allocated to help improve lighting throughout the city. And so what we realized is that we'd like to use those scarce dollars in our more residential, non-tourist areas. And since we're lucky to have this sort of this resort tax funding, that we would start setting aside some money over the next few years to help address lighting in the tourist zone. So you'll see $200,000 proposed in each of these buckets. Okay, so let's move on to Mid Beach. So in Mid Beach,
go back for a second. Note that we have not allocated about $457,000, and I don't know if there's drawn any projects beyond that. I guess not, but that is funding that's available in North Beach for as we talk about future investments or some of these other projects we're doing. There is some funding in this year for that.
I think before the meeting, Commissioner Alamon, was there one regarding the band shell, I believe? Commissioner Alamon, was there a project regarding the band shell that?
Yes. Thank you. Yes. I've been working closely with the band shell for 3 years now, and if they mentioned something to me that I think is worth considering. If you're familiar with the band shell, you realize that the entire interior up against the wall in a curving fashion is angled. And the reason it's angled is there used to be seating in there. And they would really like to see us put, in the curving back wall. It's not a flat floor, it's angled. And the reason is that was auditorium-style seating. So They sent me, and I'll submit it to you, John, a estimate of $125,000. I'll show it to the chair where they have a rendering. The rendering is kind of cute because the seating looks like piano keys. So if maybe we want to pass it up and down. If you all think that's worthy to be considered.
I do.
Yeah.
I wasn't aware of it.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of it, but it's a good idea.
It's great because we do a lot of seniors events also at the Bandshell, and seating is always kind of an issue there, whether it's not just for the farm shares, but when we're having, actual
holiday events and things like that. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, I think
Let me turn my mic on. You want to allocate $125,000 from the $457,000 unallocated funds for North Beach?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And those funds were left there for projects such as this one as they come up in the area?
Yeah, we get $1.5 million every year for North, Mid, and South. So after we allocated everything we are aware of, we still had some left over.
I also think, I didn't know about it, I think it's a good idea. Considering that we're going to be canopying the Bandshell, I think it's going to get even more use. So we'll need the seating. I think it's a good idea.
I have a question, though. I do like it, and I would like to support it. Just I want also just a better clarification of what we're not funding that would have been funded in a priority list prior to necessarily taking on a new project.
Sure.
And let us know that, but I love this idea.
Well, if you look actually in the documentation we give you, there were no other North Beach products projects identified by staff.
Correct.
That had
page 36 of 76, which is the second page of the 11 by 17 handout.
Oh, good.
You'll see that in the green column, everything that was requested basically got funded. So it appears that we should be able to. All right.
So that I agree going, not just for this section, but for everything with what Commissioner Steinberg said, which is whenever you say yes to something, you're saying no de facto to something else. But I'm glad to see in this case for North Beach that there wasn't anything else that we had not funded, that the 457 is truly, truly unallocated.
Okay.
Great.
Okay.
I don't have a problem with it.
So I emailed that to you, John.
Okay, so it sounds like we have general consensus on that one. So then moving on to Mid Beach. Here you can see Project 70, Indian Creek Landscape and Irrigation. That one's split between this funding source and PAYGO as well. On the next slide here, you'll see Project 78, security cameras on the beach walk. So this might sound a little familiar in that during the geobond process, we'd had a project to put security cameras on the entire beach walk. Ultimately, the part that was funded, the segment was South Beach, south of 23rd, because that was where a lot of the activity was. And the plan at the time was, well, let's use our resort tax quality of life funds to then build it up from there north. And so the next segment would be 23rd to 46th. And so it would be dependent, though, on the other project just because of the IT infrastructure and things that need to connect. But this we were able to accommodate that request, even though it was about $900,000. So I know that that's an important project for a lot of the Mid-Beach folks.
And I think police would also support because, our efforts in South Beach have pushed some of the folks north. And so I think this area is impacted by that.
John, just a question on that. I strongly support number 78. I think that's a good win for 23rd to 46th. Do we know about any plans to put cameras north of 46th? Is there another phase coming?
Right. So as I mentioned earlier, every year we get about $1.5 million to work with in each of these buckets. So as we would get closer to finishing the prior phase, because that would be dependent, then we would probably come back this time next year maybe for the next segment that would make sense, contiguous segment. So the plan would be over time to address the entire beach walk.
I'm just here to speak in favor on behalf of the Mid-Beach residents. They and the Facebook crime page both, they're going to be very happy with these security cameras. And hopefully in next year's budget, as the beach walk completely comes online, we might want to consider in next year's capital budget moving them on up north.
All righty.
John, okay. Let me ask you something, because I know that we had done some repaving along Meridian, and I had seen a request from the Bayshore neighborhood that we, at least on a temporary basis, repave Meridian from Dade to 28th, and I understand that that cost will be about $156,000. I don't know if you're aware.
I haven't heard that one, but it sounds like that would – is that one of the geobond, like, paving projects that we – a segment
no.
that, for that, or
– No. No, this is just the same thing we did this past year.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, okay, so I think it was $150,000 worth of paving that we did because the neighborhood improvement project looked like it was going to take several years.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, we did some stopgap paving in Central Bayshore last year because, the whole stormwater infrastructure project got delayed, and the road condition there is pretty bad in that area.
Right. Yes, Commissioner, and we did make those paving that was requested, and that's complete. I think what Commissioner Arriola is talking about is some additional paving that we have estimated the cost for in the same neighborhood, which is what he's speaking of, another $160,000 roughly for more in that same neighborhood.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was well received by the neighborhood.
Yeah.
They made a request that we sort of finish the work. It's sort of low dollar, high value to the neighborhood.
John, we might be able, because, unless I'm mistaken, that runs along the golf course there.
Yep.
Right, is that the portion? There may be some sharing where quality of life could pay for a portion of that. So with that, we might be able to use some of the mid-beach quality of life. I think we have we have some left over, and then maybe some other funds. So we'll look at that. Now I'm losing my voice. And bring that back.
Okay, and before we leave Mid-Beach, I just got reminded that our Parks Director, John Rebar, had a late request for an additional project.
Thank you, John. Yeah, we just recently finished a playground replacement at Indian Beach, and that project was planned and funded before the Mid-Beach Neighborhood Association was in full force. Jose Dorisco and I met with four of the members of the association this week, and they have a strong desire to add to that playground because the demographics in that area has changed. It's getting younger. They would like to expand to a 2 to 5 year old playground equipment and more shading. So a possible project with that leftover quality life money is to further expand the playground at Indian Beach.
What's the location of Indian Beach?
46th in the ocean?
The 46th.
Right next to Eden Rock.
Okay, thank you.
And so we have $168,000 of unallocated funds, and my understanding is if we took that and then hopefully identified a little bit more in savings and other completed projects, by the time we got to the October timeframe, we would hopefully be able to cover.
Yeah, I think I was at a meeting when we raised that, and they really seemed to think it made sense for their area. And that park's a nice little park, but it probably is getting – I could use that. So I don't think I get to vote on this committee.
It is. They're excited about it. They even want to start a subcommittee.
You do. You're
I back. Get to vote. We're back. I'm back on.
That's very nice.
Look out.
Coward.
I think that's a good idea.
I think it's great that more younger people are moving to Mid Beach.
Yeah, and they're excited about it. They want to put a committee together to help design the playground and whatnot.
Great.
Okay, so it sounds like we have consensus to add that project.
All right, girls.
Thank you, sir. Okay, so let's move on to North Beach.
South Beach.
Oh, South Beach. Thank you. Thank you very much. And so you'll see there on Project 89 and 90 that we have the Super Bowl next year. So there's a couple of Super Bowl-related projects. And then also I just wanted to highlight that in this area we have $466,000 that are unallocated currently. We have heard, potential. We have a few Tranche 2 geobond projects where folks have talked about potentially maybe needing some seed money. Seed money to me is a few hundred thousand dollars so that by the time they get to Tranche 2 and they get their full funding, they're able to hit the ground running. And so we haven't really identified something tangible yet, but I just wanted to sort of put it out there that we have some capacity there just in case anything comes up. So that's why those two are an asterisk.
There's one other thing that I had mentioned during our briefing, but I don't have numbers yet. And that's a request from Miami City Ballet for the sprung flooring replacement for part of it. Part of it is already funded, but there's part that has not been funded. I had a meeting with Tanya and John Shoemaker, the CFO, but they have to get back to us with the numbers.
Well, one thing we could do is, since we have two more budget workshops, is hopefully by the time of this time next month, July 19th, perhaps they would have a figure, and
right.
And the group could consider it at that time.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so at this point, let's move on to the third main bucket that we usually discuss, which is PAYGO. All right, so right now we have $2.4 million in annual PAYGO funds. It's been as high as $7.5 million in the past, as we talked about at the budget retreat. If possible, over the next few years, it would be great if we could ramp that up and try and get it a lot closer to at least $5 million over time. Last year we converted it to a millage rate, so it grew slightly along with the property values, and hopefully over time that would generate more funds. So some of the projects here, you see a 107, that's the other 50% of the Indian Creek Landscape and Irrigation Project. And I'd like to highlight Project 111, because that's an example of a seed money project for a geobond second tranche project. So waterway restoration, there's a lot of extensive permitting and a long lead time on those. So this $250,000, I believe it may have already gone to commission, is in here. And then Project 128, Polo Park. So in the geobond, Polo Park has improvements to the baseball dugouts and the field, where this project adds lighting and a multi-use soccer field as well. And in this category, we have $155,000 left over.
Where's John? Is he still here?
You are.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you about the Polo Park's soccer field, so I haven't seen that before. That's going to be on the north side?
Yes. What it is we'd like to put up some netting and just some goals to utilize the outfield of the baseball field to do the younger ages of soccer, not an additional field.
So it can't be used, obviously, simultaneously?
No. There's not enough space.
No. What's being lit?
Well, there's a proposal to three different menu items, only baseball, basketball, or tennis, or all three. We're asking for all three. We have a great relationship with the Neighborhood Association. We've already walked them through and got approval for the GOB project that's being completed this summer, and they now are discussing the addition of lights. They wanted to tackle one thing at a time, get through the GOB, and now discuss the lighting.
So we don't know whether the lighting is on the baseball, basketball, tennis, basically.
We're proposing all three, but we want to go through the community process.
All right. That's all. Thank you.
Okay. Welcome.
Okay. Any other questions about PAYGO before we move on to other? Yes, PAYGO is super important because it's our most flexible capital funding source. So when we, as we triage capital projects and try to determine how to fund them, you know, it's kind of the backstop for everything else. So we always want to be careful about how we allocate our PAYGO funds.
John, just a question on that, and it might be in the numbers. What amount of requests for PAYGO are we not funding?
Let's see. $10.2 million was requested. Available is $2.7 million. So let's see. That's looks like $7.5 million.
Okay.
So it's quite a bit.
Well, they're
if you look at slide 23, yeah. So it's substantial. So in other words, that's where if we had, you know, more like $5 million worth of PAYGO, we would be able to cover the majority of, you know, the higher priority items. But right now we only do the highest priority.
Thank you.
Okay, great. So now we'll talk a little bit about the other types of capital projects, and usually they're tied to whatever fund that they're coming from. So the transportation fund has four projects here. So if you have any questions about that, I'm happy to. We have our department heads here who can help. If there's no questions, then I'll just move on to parking. There's a lot of renewal and replacement projects here in parking. One I'd like to highlight is number 281, 282, which is installing license plate recognition cameras in all of our garages. So that's a big enhancement to public safety. That way, if anybody goes into or out of one of our garages, we would be aware of it. So that's just one I'd like to highlight. We have a couple more slides of just, you know, general renewal and replacement type projects. Nothing really of note. Okay, so then our next funding source is stormwater, and here we're you know, we're a little bit status quo pending the Jacob study, as you know. The main project here is the First Street Alton the Washington project, which is under design. So design was already funded. This funding is for construction.
What is the status, or is the bioswale pilot that was put on referral, is that part of this, or is do we need to talk about that?
The bioswale pilot that you've proposed is for 59th Street and is not part of this funding.
Okay. Is there room for it? Do we need to talk about that? What do we...
At this point, we've not identified a funding source. That discussion was to be had at finance.
Okay, so that's on the agenda for this meeting after this budget discussion?
I'm sorry, I think it's coming to sustainability. I think it's coming to our SRC committee.
Okay.
That was my recollection. Okay. I saw it on agenda. I think it was SRC.
So we need that. We need the sustainability committee to look at it and see if that's something that they're interested in or not, which it is on the agenda for later. The cost of that bioswale pilot is around $800,000, right? So we need to figure out if it does receive a favorable at sustainability and that committee wants to go forward with it, then we need to find it a home.
It's scheduled for June 28th at the next regular finance committee meeting. And we have two budget workshops after that. So
great.
If we vet it there, we still have the opportunity
okay.
to
great.
Work it out.
Great, because $800? No.
Okay, great. All right, so then moving on to water and sewer funds. We have a lot of, again, renewal and replacement type projects here. Let's see. Yep. You know, doing proactive maintenance goes a long ways. And so, you know, the city's had to deal with a lot of deferred maintenance from the past. Yes, ma'am.
The other question I had is under water and sewer, I believe.
Put my mic back on. It's not funded in this iteration, and it's Project 249, the water meter replacement program. Remind me, because I thought there was some component to that that was self-funding, in other words, replacing the water meters. Am I remembering that properly?
Yes, we have been setting money aside year over year to go into an automated meter reading system that we're in procurement processes for.
Okay.
And so there is an accumulation of money for that. There's not enough money to totally fund it, but you are correct. We've been doing that for several years.
Okay, we're not there yet, but at some point we'll be able to implement that new system, and then it pays for itself over time. So we've got a savings account going, it sounds like.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so then the next group of projects are RDA funds. So there's a handful of projects receiving funding from the City Center and the Old South Point RDA Fund. So the main project here is that the above ground funding for the First Street Stormwater Project. Okay, so then when we get to other funds, we're happy that we have the final allotment of the development agreement funding for North Beach Oceanside Park. So that project is out for bid. The construction contract's out for bid, and once it starts, hopefully it'll be complete in less than 18 months. And then 331 here is our normal fleet replacement funds that we always put into the capital budget. And here we're hoping that now that Ford is offering a new hybrid police interceptor, that we'll really have the opportunity to kind of move the needle there and realize some substantial fuel savings. Okay, so then geobond-wise, we just wanted to make sure that anyone watching this presentation was aware that following the election November 6th, that the commission approved a plan put together by a resident committee to which projects to implement when and how much in each tranche on March 13th. And then the same day, we budgeted all of the funding that's in tranche one, and that over the next few months, now that Maria Hernandez's team has been working diligently with each of the departments involved on all their projects, we'll take that schedule and start quantifying what the future operating and maintenance costs could be from some of these projects, because, you know, depending, especially if we have like a new amenity, those costs could be fairly substantial. And so by the time we adopt the budget, we're hoping to have a more nuanced schedule, and that becomes very important in the context of if we're having a tight fiscal environment. We just need to be really aware of how that's going. Okay, so then I think the remainder of this presentation we can probably spend on 72nd Street. So when I originally put together this presentation, I thought we had a separate item. I thought, well, maybe we can just put it in here. And after the briefings, we realized that we probably need to have a little presentation from CIP to kind of walk you through where we are to date and so on. And so what I have on the screen right now is that at the end of, you might recall that at the end of the geobond allocation process, that the project was originally more like $63, $64 million. And at the time, when we made the final decisions, it got cut down by $10 million to about $53. And so, you know, we've gone back and worked some of those numbers. And so what I'm hearing is we have this gap of about $10.6 million to really do it with the scope that was intended. So, you know, there's been a lot of questions about what was that scope, what's in, what's out, what are we able to cover with that 10.6? So David Martinez is going to address that. I just, before he jumps up and discusses that, I just really want to talk about how to get to 10.6 if the commission wants to get there, right? So we really have two paths to get there. The recommended one is here, where we could use the $10 million in light rail funding, $10 million of resort tax funding that's currently in the light rail project. And there, when we looked at the cost of the parking garage, which is substantial, it's $27 million, that right now our Park Mobile numbers tell us that it's 23, the usage is 23% non-residents, right? So when we apply that percentage to the cost of the garage, we in theory could use $6.3 million of that $10 million allocation. And then the aquatic complex we anticipate will be used by non-residents as well. So we took 15% as a planning number. And so that 6.3 plus the 1.4 would use potentially 7.7 of that $10 million allocation. And then that got us close enough where we could use some available parking funds to close that gap. So that's one way to get there. A second way to get there, when we put this together, we wanted to keep intact the North Beach Town Center garage parking money that we kind of set aside for that purpose. And even if that project doesn't work out, we could also use it for any other parking garage that might, you know, because that is pretty much all our parking money. So just want to sort of lay out the puzzle pieces. And now, if you're okay with that, I'd like to get David Martinez up to kind of talk more about the project, and we can continue to work this.
Bring in the A-team.
David, you've been busy this week cutting a lot of ribbons, right?
Good. Been a good week.
Yeah.
A good week. So
your hands
far.
Hurt
Thank
from
you.
All those ribbons you cut? Great work, but
Thank you
and the team make us proud.
Thank you very much.
It's fun going to those ribbon cuttings and seeing all the hard work, so thank you.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. Good morning, everyone. I'm going to recap very quickly what was exactly in the GOB project when this went out to the voters so that we can start from that perspective. There were six items that were specifically broken out in the GOB one-pagers and what the residents saw and voted on. First item was, of course, the parking garage. Second was the civic commercial space. Third was a library. Fourth was recreational park green space. Five was the aquatic complex. And six was a generic site work component. All those components in the general obligation bond added up to the $53.8 million. Take it a little further. Some of those were broken up into some additional subsets. Parking remained, there was no other items on the parking garage. On the civic commercial space, it went up of three pieces. The civic commercial space was made up of the liner, the ground level liner for the garage. It included the community center that would be up in the roof or in the top level of the garage of up to 5,000 square feet. It includes the upscale fitness gym and running track, also in the top level of the garage at the time. The library was the library. The green space was just that. The aquatic complex was composed, of course, of a 50-meter competition-sized pool and a 25-meter competition warm-up pool. And it also included sports lighting, because obviously if we're going to have this on the roof and it's going to operate at night.
Hey, David, how much unallocated space is in the building now? What square footage? Unallocated.
I'm sorry.
How much unallocated square space is there in addition to the what seems to be programmed?
Parking spaces you're referring to?
No. In addition to the library, we have unallocated square footage.
20,000 square feet.
20,000, okay.
Yes.
So something else can be there.
Yes, yes, sir. Lastly, the site work was composed of general site work that you would have to do on any site. It included utility relocations, and it also included the sustainable and resilient element that was added on to the GOB. That's fine. When you look at the true cost of where we see, and when I talk about cost, I'm talking total budget, that brings us to $64.3 million versus $53.8. That's the difference of $10.5 or almost $10.6 million that John Woodruff was making reference to. At this point, I can get into any detail that you would like as to and whatever questions you may have. But that's kind of where we are teed up right now. We do have a consultant on board that's continuing doing feasibility. They have some deliverables that should be coming in right about now. And we're now at a point really where we're ready to...
All right, so let me ask you the direct question. You got either 50 or 60 million. It's a design build. What do you guys recommend? Is the $50 million facility going to diminish some of its mission? You think the I'm asking you because I know Commissioner Alleman's going to answer in a moment anyway.
So, I am making no facial expressions.
I have a different answer.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I can add to that. There's certain elements that work in unison to some elements that are independent. If you look at the library, of course, the library, you know, can be attached or not attached, and it doesn't affect the other components. If you look at the aquatic component, it has a relationship with the fitness gym in terms of a lot of the shared common uses, lockers and showers and some community rooms and such. So if you look at saying, okay, well, can we put the pool or the aquatic complex at ground level and leave everything else alone, it doesn't work in terms of dollars, because now you're separate. You're going to have that element that is either going to be on the roof or on the bottom. So you can either leave the gym without showers and lockers and some of the other things, or leave the pool without those things, and you can't. So they kind of were programmed to go together. Parking is just that. If you know, we're looking at 500 spaces, so do we look at 300? And by the way, the current lot is 320 spaces on it. You reduce or increase parking spaces. It's just a matter of that.
So are you saying you think the higher amount makes more sense? And I'll ask your deputy, Commissioner Alleman, to answer a little bit.
yes. Mr. Martinez is absolutely right. For example, the library component, you could unbuckle that. I'll tell you why I wouldn't recommend it, which is that our primary users of the library are young people and seniors. And so think about the synergy with the North Shore Youth Center, where we have the youth programs there, where we have seniors doing, you know, Tai Chi and fitness classes. It all ties in really well together. And the thing about the modern libraries, and we visited Kathy Brooks, Leslie Rosenfeld, a few of us. I can't remember who else. David, you were on those trips. We went and looked at what do modern new libraries look like. We went to Weston. We went to Surfside. Went to a few other places and looked at modern libraries. And one component is sort of media innovation centers. And we were getting excited about that component of the library, because we can use that as a city to offer, we can enhance what's happening with the youth through educational programs, through those media centers. We can also offer, you know, technology classes to seniors and things like that. So to me, this corridor where we have the library, the pool, the public fitness gym, and it's all right there, that's such a great set of amenities that all fit together for seniors and for kids and, you know, for all of us, but especially those two groups, that's really, it's a true civic center in the finest sense of the word.
Thank you.
So I'd like to find the $10 million.
I guess I have a question. I agree with that, and I think it will be wonderful, but the recreation center, that's in the second tranche or whatever we're calling it, like what is the timeline for this going online, 4 to 6 years?
I'm sorry, the recreational center.
What are we talking?
You mean the civic center, 72nd Street, the construction of it.
Right, the construction.
He's talking about the difference between the funding in tranche one versus two.
Okay, for this project, if you'd like, I can touch briefly on what the schedule would look like if we were to be able to just continue on from this point on. When we looked at this through the design build process, we'd be looking at an overall project development of approximately 4 years. We went through that explanation at the GOB Oversight Committee. During the 4 years, what we're looking at possibly awarding this project to a design builder, we're estimating that would probably happen sometime end of the third quarter, 2020, maybe fourth quarter.
I think the point is, and why you're making such a, you know, why we're here trying to sort this out is, you're ready to issue the design, but you don't know whether to issue a $60 million design or a $50 million design, and you need a commitment from us as to which way you should go with that, because we have multiple options for finding the $10 million. We can go after the light rail project funds. We can go after the other parking funds and reallocate those from the other project. There's multiple things that we can do, but you're at a standstill because you need direction from us as to which version of the project you should go bid out.
That is correct. Our next step, if we were to proceed, is to develop the criteria that would be put together for the RFQ for a design builder.
Go ahead, guys. Come on.
When we looked at this at the original selection committee for the GO bond, I don't remember seeing a gymnasium there nor a running track. That's been added.
Commissioner, that's been there all along. Maybe you might have missed it the way that it was presented. Maybe on our end, the way that
and then
it
on
was
the
presented.
First
but
floor,
that has always the most significant changes that occurred during the process prior to actually engaging on the general obligation bond process was that the warm up pool was added, the skate park was removed, and the green space increased. I believe all the other elements remained the same.
Okay, I did not remember the gymnasium and running track. I did not know about the second 25-meter pool. And I believe that on the first floor, the civic, we just called it civic space, would include a community room, not to build another community room.
There's that civic and commercial space that we're talking about is approximately 20,000 plus or minus square feet of liner on the ground floor. It could be, as the mayor stated, it could be anything. And then up to 5,000 square foot community room on the roof, on the top floor, that would have the benefit of overlooking easterly towards the ocean and having a very a public gathering room for civic meetings.
I don't know. Does that add to the cost or that?
Yeah, that is all included in the total budget of the 64.3 million.
I'm talking about the $53 million as it was allocated.
The way that this occurred,
that not include? If
going back in time during the general obligation bond process, and I know we've had these discussions, the first time it was presented on the wish list of the GOB projects when we had the much longer list that y'all weighed in on, we came up with a $60 million dollar amount. That was cut by $10 million at that time. I know there were discussions about down the road finding the money. So it became 50. And then
you know where I'm going with this. And then I warned you. I warned us not to do it, and here we are.
Further down the road,
I blame Rick.
There was money added for resilient and sustainable items to the tune of the 3.8, and that's what brought it to $53.8 million.
Yeah, I mean,
that's pretty much how that went down.
Yeah, I mean, my frustration is why we arbitrarily chopped $10 million off, assuming we could build this same project for $10 million less. I'm like, that's dumb, and it's not going to make a difference in the vote. Here we are. So,
well, do we have
colleagues?
Well, we have the money, it looks like.
Well, we had the money, but it would have been nice if we had it in the GO bond and we don't have to move money from transportation, which is an area that we desperately need to address.
I guess the way that maybe I'm looking at this item wrong, but I feel that this item is premature. Everything that was in the GO bond and everything you're telling us today is an estimate off the top of your head. We don't have...
Not really.
Maybe not off the top of your head. It's your educated estimate.
It's a little more than that, Commissioner.
Okay. Well, I haven't seen it. I'm not going to vote to allocate $10.6 million based upon the slide that was shown to us today. I need to understand what the project cost. I need to see what the backup is. I mean, the voters approved, I guess, a $53 million project, and now you're saying it could be $64 million, but you haven't given us any backup or any real document other than throwing a number out. So for me right now, it's just based on your verbal representation. I don't see why we would allocate $10.6 million today for a project that you said at best is going to be ready to go out to bid in the third quarter of next year.
Mayor, if I may.
Answer, because you're here for a good reason. You need direction, and you're stuck right now. And that's why you brought this forward.
I have some additional concerns here as well. We're in a very tight operating budget, and as I think about this, I'm concerned with the message around fiscal responsibility that we brought to the community. We spent a whole lot of time in this process. A number of us advocated strongly, and we got the voters to approve substantial increases and a $53 million project. So now to go back and say that we want to add, you know, almost 20% of the cost is a big deal to me. The second thing, I'm concerned about the financials. This project, which I voted for, represents about a third of the parks budget. Now, if we add another $10 million, that becomes, you know, it's probably going to approach 50% of all of our investment. This project also has significant operating and maintenance costs in a tough budget environment. We're going to have to face with millions of dollars. So I really would like to, in addition to some of the requests Commissioner Gongora had, I'd really like to understand the costs from an operating and maintenance standpoint. And my other request would be to know something that I think Commissioner Steinberg raised earlier. What are we not doing? What is out there that we know? We had the PAYGO of several million that we didn't have. We know we're staring at some liabilities at the Fillmore. We have plans for transit. So as we think about a decision like this, my question is going to be, what's giving that we couldn't? So I think we need to have a broader discussion. I am fine with looking at the light rail, but I'm not fine with making this commitment, especially because we went to the community with another approach.
Yeah. Just one thing. First of all, I do support the higher amount, and I would like to find the $10 million because this is a worthwhile project. I was a staunch supporter of it for the full value when we first discussed it. I think it was arbitrary, and now I think some of us regret chopping $10 million off. But I do think we owe it to the public to fulfill the vision. I think it's going to be one of the nicest civic projects in the entire county, if not the nicest. The thing to consider when we're talking about operating costs, there's a retail component to this which generates funds. There's a parking garage which generates funds. There's a park. There's a pool. I mean, this is not just a cost center. This actually generates revenue as well. So keep that in mind. Where I'd like to personally take this, rather than looking at the transportation fund, would be the North Beach Town Center parking garage money that we're setting aside, because I think if there may be a proposal on the table there where we're not required to come out of pocket, freeing up money, and then I would be supportive of transferring that money to this project. And I don't know, Jimmy, where that discussion stands with that developer, but if we're getting close to a deal there, I'd love to take that money and put it into this project and reserve the $10 million for transportation needs in the future.
Their latest proposal is now that they will build the garage without our money. My understanding.
Like a swap or something?
Yeah, and what? How much money does that free up approximately?
Well, I think over $10 million.
Yeah.
There's approximately $10 million in the parking fund that was allocated for that deal. The only thing that I would like to put on the record for that is we still have a parking issue in North Beach, and if we were going to allocate those $10 million that was supposed to help the parking problem, we may want to look at potentially expanding the parking garage portion of this project.
Higher than 500 spaces? Higher than the 500 spaces, really?
Why don't we do this? First of all, I know there are at least a couple members that are concerned about the movement of funds, or at least the increase of the size of the project. I'm not as concerned about the increase of the size because, frankly, slightly different than Commissioner Ariola's view. My view is that the GEO bond was $10 million less. It was lighter, which is less of a tax increase. If we can find the money in a project that we're not programming it for and it's not taken from some other important need, then I don't think there's a problem with increasing the size of the project in the way Ms. Martinez has suggested. But I think probably they need to get a briefing from you on the details so that people are secure as to what the difference is, because I do think you can't even begin the soft costs part of this in the designing unless you know what you're designing and how much money the design build is going to be. I mean, you obviously have to know that at day one. You can't decide it in day 20 of the right. of the lifespan of the project. So we have to let you know that before you do anything. So you're waiting for us to say green light 50 million, green light 55, green light 60, and probably if we got some briefings on the details sufficiently to say, okay, well, maybe it is worth it or maybe not. Where we get the funds from is the second issue. And I think there are some funds that are available that are aligned with the mission of what we're trying to do there. Parking isn't, it's for the area. It might be in the 72nd Street, but it's for the area. So if we're taking parking money from one area a block away and putting it into that, we're not exactly, subverting anybody's will. We're actually using the money for what it was intended. But I think we probably need to know that. And at some point soon. But
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah.
The other thing we haven't talked about is that this project frees up the entire city-owned public block at Collins and 75th, which is a beachfront block, which is, I don't know what you all are going to decide to do with that once I'm gone because we haven't, decided. Have fun. That's an incredible opportunity. Old library site is freed up by this project. That is worth, millions. I don't know what you're going to do with it, but this is the enabler to allow you to sort of blue sky whatever you decide to do with that public property. So what I'd like to do, because I know I've been working with David on this for years, and he needs direction. So I'd like to move that in terms of the design criteria, we go with the full project. And I'd like to include in that instead of these funds, which I fully understand, we've got folks that have been working hard on transportation initiatives, so they're probably a little nervous about taking the light rail funds because we might need them for a transportation initiative. I'll include in my motion that we would reallocate the funds from the other North Beach Town Center parking fund project.
Or from the library site. I mean, that's a very valuable site that $10 million easily could come from that to...
But that's not available, is it?
It will be when the library moves. That we own the property.
Yeah, but that would require a transaction.
It would require a transaction.
And and by the way, you may be right, Commissioner, in a sense that that money is not with us. But
oceanfront property.
I agree with you. It's just we have enough time where I guess the point is I think our commission has to be believing that the higher-end project is necessary, and then figure out where the money comes from. There seems to be at least a couple sources that are consistent with the mission of what we want to do there, because it is a sort of a Swiss Army knife kind of project, and right. A couple of those blades are clearly parking and other things. So what's your motion? Is it to...
It's for us to give David the direction to proceed with the full scope of the project. I don't think that any of us really want to eliminate the scope from that project.
I'm not sure of that.
And to unfund the Town Center project, the $10 million from their parking, so that those funds could be redeployed here.
Okay.
I would second that, but I think
I'm going to be a no at this time, and I'm going to explain why. I haven't received any information about the project to understand the difference. This is an enormous amount of money. It's $10.6 million that I'm not prepared to casually vote on. Number two, I would like to see more information specifically as to how the price breaks down, what your estimates are, and what you've worked up. Number three, this isn't an emergency. We could do it today, we could do it next month, we could do it in September, we could do it in 2020. Because right now, we've identified the light rail project funds, we have money in the parking fund. I don't understand why we would vote today to tie up money from either of those funds when we don't know what our options are, we don't know specifics about this particular project. So I'm a no. If you do want to tie up the city funds, which I think is a bad idea, I would recommend that you do it from the light rail funds and leave the parking fund alone.
Mayor, if I could.
Yeah, Commissioner.
I'm going to be a no as well. I think what we need to see is the alternatives of what's 50, what's 60, how do we value engineer this in alignment with what we went to the voters for. I also would like to see us fine-tune the operating and maintenance costs. My recollection, it was $2 to $3 million a year. I heard some comments on the dais that said, no, there's some puts and takes. I'd like to see that. I don't know that we could allocate $10 million more without understanding the O&M. And finally, I'd like to see what are we not doing if we put $10 million more here, whether it's the Fillmore, transit, what are these other needs? So for me to get from no to yes, those would be the three things I'll need to see.
And it doesn't have to. We have another budget meeting, so it's true. I don't casually vote on anything at all. But I've also been working on this project for 3.5 years, so I have a wealth of knowledge about it. And to your point, you haven't had the benefit of being able to go through those details and really understand it. So I understand that. It doesn't have to be made today. But certainly, as we go through this budget process, this is an important project. We have $10 million on this project in Tranche 1. The administration is trying to get it going, which they should, because that was part of the promise to the voters. And we need to give them direction on what scope they should be targeting. They need to know that now, not 2 years from now.
Can we? I'd rather not pass it or fail
That's
it.
Fine. I withdraw my motion.
So let's
no
move it to the next meeting. But everybody will commit to learning enough about it so we can figure out. Because I think we all agree that if it's a good idea, we want to do it. And those of you that don't know enough, just because not for any reason other than. Aliman has been in the middle of this for a long time. Let's learn it well enough so that we can more meaningfully give direction, because I think it's important we do that before we vote. And also, frankly, I think it would help us all in the community. So with that, we'll defer this item to the next thing. But will you come up with will you all explain the value engineering of this thing from 50 to 60 and also the fund sources so that, for instance, it may be that we can choose and designate one now, knowing that when Commissioner Malakoff sells that oceanfront lot after she gets her commission, we'll get a little bit extra. We in other words, this is 4 or 5 years down the road, and so that we should have a funding source, obviously, when we begin, but we can substitute that out at some later date. And we have a transportation fund right now that's sitting with a good amount of money. There's a lot of different funds. I don't want to just use one indiscriminately. I'd like you to come and tell us, here are all the options, here's the advantages and disadvantages, here's what I recommend, and here are the policies attendant to each. So we all can feel good about that. Is that all right, everybody?
I just want to reiterate and encourage all of us to fully fund this project. I mean, I was staunch on this when we were going through the geo bond list. I don't know that there's anything in the fully developed plan that I'd want to sacrifice. We've got a 500-space garage, which is a very substantial portion of this project's cost. You've got community center. You've got a library. You've got retail space, which is desperately needed up there. You've got a park. And on top of that, you've got an aquatic center. I don't know which of those I would sacrifice. And so that was why I was so staunch on keeping this in the geo bond. And let's find the money. I know where I would like to find it. I'd like to find it in the North Beach Town Center because we have money allocated for parking. It's appropriate that we just move it a block north. But I would not value engineer this project.
Okay. Mayor, we've got a couple of residents, who,
sure,
including our chairman of budget advisory.
And our audit committee guy. So
Thank you, Commissioners, for everything you've done today for North Beach. I really appreciate your support, and it's greatly seen. This is not only the largest geobomb project, but it is the most significant one for North Beach. There was a lot of North Beach residents concerned with the amount of allocation that was given in Tranche 1 towards North Beach and the commitment that was given to them that this was the project. This is a project that stemmed from the basis of the North Beach Master Plan. This was a project that we started even before we had discussions about geobond committee meetings, with Alamon taking the lead. And there is a huge perception in the community that this project is not going forward as quickly as it needs to. I've heard discussions today about 5-6 years, just so it's clear. It is in the community's mind that this is a 4-year project, that Tranche 2, this gets funded fully. And I've been following this project at the Geobond Oversight Committee. It is the project that's discussed the most by North Beach residents. This is what's really our share. And there's been clear understanding that until we determine the fund, we can't hire the designer to start designing the building and start having community meetings. So it's very difficult for us to move this project forward for North Beach until we get clear commitment on the value and where that money's coming from. And I like all of your questions. And with a $450 million geobond, it will not be the last one. But this is the biggest commitment to North Beach. And I think that everyone here should continue to do what they're doing, but let's not delay this project. Let's quickly find the solutions and fund it so that in Tranche 2, we're ready to move forward with the funding of this project and we can deliver it as planned. Thank you.
Ron?
Good morning, Commissioners. Ronald Starkman, I'm Chairman of the Budget Advisory Committee. And we had a Budget Advisory Committee meeting on Tuesday, so I want to just give you a little flavor on that. We didn't pass any specific resolutions, since John said that this was really more of an informational presentation and there was still a work in progress, but I do want to give you a flavor of some of the discussion. And I think former Mayor Neil Kasdan actually set the stage perfectly in terms of how we should be looking at the future financial situation for our city. And we feel that if ever there was a time when we need to start drawing the line on spending, it's now. For example, on the project we were just speaking about in North Beach, when that project was approved here, I think a number of people swallowed pretty hard to approve even the 50-plus million, because that was a substantial portion of the budget. And I think that only got comfortable with it when it got reduced. And they said, okay, now I can support it. I can't support it 60. I can support it 10. And certainly they didn't expect that the money would be taken from reserves, because you may recall last year you've all voted to take that light rail money and set it aside as part of the reserve unless it was needed for a transportation study. So now we're using it for something that I think is a nice to have, but at the same time, as some of you have pointed out, there are various projects. Some come to light recently. The fleet maintenance facility on Terminal Island is in need of substantial funds. They've got stormwater projects and so forth. So it's really going to be a balancing act between some nice to have things and some things that I think we really need to have. And as Commissioner Simulian said, let's look at the big picture before we allocate this money. The other main message with respect to the capital budgets is every year, you know, we've said that we felt that there was not enough money being set aside for roads, streets, and buildings to maintain the level of maintenance that we need for a standard that's expected. And we did get a one-time bailout here because about, I would say, at least 20% of that geo bond is for deferred maintenance items, streets, buildings, sidewalks. And so effectively what happened is we borrowed against a money that we would have should have been taken out of our operating budget. I mean, we basically spent money in operations and then later borrowed to fill the gap. So this is something that can't be continued, we feel. And ultimately, I think we have to think about the fact that it looks that we should not be taking money from any reserves while it looks like that we have no reasonable prospect of seeing the finances improve in the future. Sorry.
Yeah, by the same token, I hear you. This is why I'm strongly supporting that we look to the North Beach Town Center parking deal that we're been working on, because that's money that we can only use for parking, and you know, almost 50% of the cost of this project is for parking. So it's not like we can throw that money elsewhere. And when we look at how woefully underinvested and underdeveloped North Beach is, you know, if you accumulate all of the investment over the last 2-3 decades in South Beach, this is the first major public investment that's being made in North Beach in 50 years. So that's probably, you know, the reason this seems so large, but it's also a pittance compared to what's gone on in South Beach.
All right. Listen, I think it does make sense to give us a little time to – it's not going to put the project out of line any significant amount.
So what I heard is that the commissioners that are not as familiar with the details of the project, this is not a value engineering up. The original scope and the original estimate, which is not, you know, is not a cocktail napkin estimate. It's a very thorough estimate based on quite a bit of engineering that's been done over the past 3 years. That the commissioner is going to get up to speed on that so that we can really have another shot at this, take another swing at this discussion at the next budget meeting. Is that what everyone else is hearing as well?
Mayor, if I could, I might frame that a little bit differently. I think we approved a $50 million project, and I would like to see what that option looks like. I'd like to see what we give up by going forward. So for me, that's important. The other two things, I said it, but I want to make sure it's in the recap as well. I would really like to see in this very tough budget environment what the operating and maintenance costs will be, because again, my recollection was $2 to $3 million a year. I would like to see that. And finally, you know, I think Mr. Starkman raises some good points. We have a lot of other needs. What are we not doing if we allocate $10 million more than was in the GO bond there? So those are my requests to the administration.
I don't, Mr. Mayor, I don't support that at all. First of all, parking funds can only be used for parking. Second of all, this is a GO bond project. We committed to deliver these projects. So, for example, when we go to do the Par 3 park, I don't want to hear people saying, well, we shouldn't do the Par 3 park because we're concerned about the operating cost of the park. No, we've made promises here to the public that we need to deliver. So I don't support that going forward at the 50.
Let me just say this. I don't think we're committing 50 or 60 right now. I think what we're committing to is to learn the different versions and the sources of income if we were to increase it. Personally, the GO bond was a commitment to our residents that we were going to tax them at a certain amount. That doesn't foreclose us from adding additional funds that aren't part of the tax. Mm-hmm. So it's not like I feel like, oh my goodness, we can't supplement a project with money that we have, as long as that money isn't an additional tax, and it's not in this case. I do think, however, it's very fair for everybody to want to know what the versions of the project are from 50 to 60, and if we decide it's important to go over the 50, where that money would come from to make sure it's a responsible use of money. That's the only thing. So I don't think either of you are wrong. I think, Commissioner Samuelin, you should look and make sure you're comfortable. If you're not, after being informed, that's the way it is. And I'm going to do the same thing, because maybe there'll be something in the middle, or maybe there'll be another source of money. We're not going to tax people more than we promised them, but we can, of course, expand the and by the way, my guess is a lot of these projects, we have money for license plate readers. We have other license plate readers that are not being funded with the GO bond. It's not like those are the only ones we can do. So we, of course, can supplement these, but we're going to do it in an informed way. And I don't think we even disagree. I just think we want to learn. Commissioner Malikoff.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with the entire recreation center proposal. I'm not comfortable with taking $10 million from transportation. I believe the $10 million that was allocated for the North Beach parking garage, our part of it, is not happening, and $10 million is not enough to build a garage. If we could reallocate those funds to the parking garage area section of, in other words, parking needs to be used for parking. If we can use those funds for the parking component, then that would free up enough to complete the project as it's been proposed. And if there's any value engineering along the way, I'd be very interested, of course, in that.
Okay. Listen, That's these it. Are all the questions, how big it should be, and if we enlarge it, what we're going to pay for it. Let's learn it. We've got a time to take care of it. We're not really even in disagreement until we know what we want. So at this point, we're going to just agree to learn more and bring it up at the next meeting. Let's keep going.
Will it be at the next budget meeting or which
right,
meeting?
July 19th, and so we'll have the full commission there. Hey. Yeah. And we'll bring much more detail. I think we got caught up into how do you fund the gap, and we realize now that we probably need a whole, you know, a memo that includes all the
details. But I think you're going to probably have to talk to the commissioners and give them a sort of, because they'll have questions and they Absolutely. Might have ideas. So, all right, let's keep going.
That's actually it.
That's the end of the day?
That's it?
Yeah.
All right.
Very briefly to my colleagues, staff, and the people watching, for all the dads, happy Father's Day. I hope you all have a beautiful weekend.
Thank you all. Thank you, Commissioner Arreola, for your work on the budget. And, yes, happy Father's Day to the fathers, all of you, wherever you may be.